go. We're up to Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, and we're holding seven lines down. Actually, the end of six lines down. Omer Ravacha Bar Yaakov. Shema mina med Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish, mizamnim Yisrael al bnei me'ayim, ve'in mizamnim ovid kochavim al bnei me'ayim. We see from the halacha of Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish, you can put them all the way on the other side of the table, that way. Actually, tomorrow I'll just bring an old pair that I can snip off this, and that way we'll just stop it. Well, Sarafi. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said a tremendous chiddush yesterday. Namely, that if you create a hole through the Reya after the Shkita of the Kana, there's no problem because the entire respiratory system is monach b'dikula, and therefore it's impossible to be matrifit. But according to that, Tainiz Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Shema Minam Rav Shimon Ben Lakish, if you take that a step further, you'll have to see that Mizamnim Yisrael al Bnei Me'ayim, Vein Mizamnim of Dekochavim al Bnei Me'ayim. You can invite a Jewish person in for a nice, what do they call the meat that they make out of lungs? What are those? Milt is pancreas. Sweetbreads are brain, right?
Rations.
What's it called?
Rations.
That's yeah. But what do they call the lungs in English? Sweetbreads are brain. Anyway, there is a word for it. I mean, it was very popular until the FDA cracked down on it. It was very popular. But in any event, you would not be able to invite a goy to enjoy them. My time. The reason is because Yisrael the b'shchita talyam nilseki v'dika shchita b'al yosu yishtari lehu. A Jew where the dependency of the heter of the animal is on shchita, so fine, you shecht it, it becomes mutter. The problem is that an ovet kuchavim the b'nechira sagi lehu. An ovet kuchavim has no halacha of shchita. In which case, if you now go ahead and you shechted the animal, and according to Reish Lakish, that would be the equivalent of picking out the lungs and everything attached to it and putting it into a basket. Suppose you actually did that. Suppose you took an animal, you took out the lungs and put it in a basket. Can you feed it to a guy? Never. It's Avram and Achai. It's forever usher. So,
what stage of the animal still alive? Well,
yeah, you take a live animal and cut out its lungs and give it to a guy. It's usher. Give it to us, Avram and Achai. And that's what you're doing over here, by definition. When you do shechita, that's what you're doing.
Because he's still
The animal is alive. You cut the kana, and at that point, Rish Lakish says, it's as if you lifted out the lungs and put it into a basket. It's still, obviously, it's still alive, the animal. Right? So according to this, you should never be able to invite the Yavid Kuchavim. Because the Yavid Kuchavim b'mitata yamilta. What's important is the death of the animal, not an act of heter. And therefore, Hani keva b'rachai dami. By the way, you'll notice the interesting line, the b'nechira sagi lehu, b'mita talya milta, sounds as if there's a chiyav of nechira for an akum. Because he only would be allowed to eat if he was nocher the simonim. And it's very interesting, there is in fact a psikta that says that in Noach, that says that goyim are usher on nevelas. If an animal dies on its own, they're not allowed to eat it. They have to go and do the nechira. So then the point would be over here, the nechira sagil, in other words, it's a given that nechira would be a way to be meimit and not a way to be matir. That we'd have to say. Because otherwise, we said before, nechirato zoi shchitato, if there was actually a din of nechira, then that would be the equivalent of shchita. Therefore, the Gemara adds, b'mita tal yamilta, that's only dependent on its death. The shaila is, how does it die? But not what it is that you do. However, I must tell you, there's not anywhere where it's brought la'alocha that a goy needs dafka to eat through nechira. Although I did tell you that marvelous shaila that that guy asked of my father, Zichrono Bracha, can she eat meat from a non-kosher butcher? I had no idea what she was talking about. Like, I understand if you, if you don't want to eat kosher, what do you ask me to eat from a non-kosher butcher?
And then,
she says, no, you don't understand. I'm not Jewish. I just want to know. I know that the kosher butchers, they shecht. So the shechita is matir. We'll see that even for a goy, it's matir. But the non-kosher butchers, they'll just shoot it to the head, and then they cut it up. And then they cut it up while it's still mefarcheses. So it's mefarcheses, it's still a din of a life. So it becomes osur, I'll say, Evri Menachai. Do I have to be cheshish for Evri Menachai? Or can I assume that there was enough time that goes by between the shooting it through the head and its misa? I don't know. That part I don't remember. He was always so amazed at the question that he ever talked about the end. Yeah. Well, they've become, you know, the humane killers. Right. Simonim. The blood. I don't know what you mean cover. I don't understand the question. They're goyim. I mean, they don't need to, but if they like to, it's certainly not a problem. They're even yotzei aliba the psikta. In any event, so it would come out that you're giving him even menachai. Omer of Papa Aviyasiv nekamein Rav Achba Yaakov. You know, I was sitting in front of Rav Achba Yaakov discussing this thing, and I was a little bit, I was too shy to ask what I wanted to ask him. Boy, the email, I wanted to say, This doesn't make any sense, because me ika immediately saw sharia. Is it possible it should be something that a Jew is mutter to eat and an Ovid Gechovim is usher to eat? But I didn't say it. And you know what? I'm sort of glad I didn't say it, because I mean, the truth is, I mean, a time come, I said to myself, I mean, what he's saying makes sense in a logistic kind of way. Because in other words, he's saying it's not that it's more chomor to be a goy. That's not the point. That it's not that the Yisrael, it's necessarily, it's sharia. It's that to Yisrael, it's dead, and to an Akum, it isn't dead. I mean, that's the point. And if it's Avraham Menachai, then it would be Avraham Menachai, the same Easter of Avraham Menachai is also to Yisrael too. The only question is, are we defining it as Avraham Menachai? I mean, that's not the same thing, you know. What had bothered me originally is that we don't look at the mechanisms. We look lamaisa at the lung. Is it mutter or aser to eat the lung? So if it's just that question, then indeed it's problematic to say that the Torah should say this lung is aser for the goy but mutter for the Jew. If it's kosher enough for the Jew, why isn't it kosher enough for the goy? But if we don't look at the etzem question of whether the lung is considered to be mutter, we analyze whether it is, in fact, Avraham Menachai or not. So I understand. This is not Avraham Menachai to him, and it is Avraham Menachai to him. I mean, that's not a question of kula or chumra. So I accepted this. Tanya Dolok Rav Achba Yaakov, but Lamaisa, Abraisa says that Rav Achba Yaakov is wrong about this, and indeed, an Akum is allowed to eat from this fashion, in this fashion, even though it was Mefarcheset, because it was mutter to Yisrael. Because the Braisa says like this, HaRotzeh le'achol mibeima, kodem shetetze nafsha. If somebody wants to eat from an animal that's extremely fresh, so that the meat he has before the animal died. Now the reason why one would want to do that is because that's the healthiest meat. Gemara says, that's mavri. So what can you do? Shech the animal and immediately take a piece of basar from the Beis HaShechita, directly. Right after the Shechita. While the animal is still alive. And then, molcho yafe yafe, or medicho yafe yafe, if you want to eat it after cooking it, so you do good malicha, you're going to do a good hadocha, the reason we say yafe yafe is because that area is really full of blood. Now you have to wait, and that's because of a separate issue. It says lo tochal al adam. One of the things we learn on lo tochal al adam is it's improper to eat from an organism that is still alive, even though it's mutter technically because you already shechted it. So you wait until the animal actually dies. It's a lot of things we dodge from it. The ochlo, and then you eat it immediately. And that meat, echad ovid kechomim, echad yisrael mutarim bo. A guy is just as mutter as a Jew is, even though you would think that it's Eivre Menachai, as far as the guy is concerned, because it was cut off of the animal while the animal was still being mefarcheset. Nonetheless, he's mutter, so you see that Rav Acha is wrong. In other words, we don't say that logically it's not more chomer. And instead, we look at it, and at the bottom line, is this kosher? If it's kosher for a Jew, then it should be kosher for a guy. Why would somebody do this, by the way? It's Misayela Ravidi Barovin. I mean, this shows that Ravidi Barovin is right in claiming that such a thing is healthy. Dom Ravidi Barovin, Om Rav Yitzchak Barashian, Harota Shiavri. Somebody wants to get well, healthy. Chotech Kizayat Basar Mibet Shkitatashal Beimal, Mocho Yafe Yafe, Umidicho Yafe Yafe, Umamtin Lahat Shetetze Nafsha, Echad Aviko Chavim, V'Echad Yisrael Mutarim. But indeed, he's consistent with the Braisa, that this is kosher for a non-Jew as well. Yeah. Right. We're saying the farkesis has a din of alive, as long as it's fluttering. Yes, Meshuvah.
Why should this change the difference of the Beverly Hills Hike? It took a leg off immediately thereafter.
After Shkita would be kosher. Yeah. No. No, that's the whole point. As you see from here, that since it's kosher for a Jew, it's kosher for a guy.
And if he had slaughtered it himself and waited until it took the leg off and waited until it died,
it would be Avram and Achai. Yeah. Would always be us. Hashochet beima chaya va'ov. V'lo yatza mehem dam kisherim. Somebody shechs an animal or a bird, and it doesn't bleed, nonetheless it's kosher. We don't say, well, it's obviously it must have been dead by the time you shechted it. It's kosher. And not only that, it's ne'achalim b'yadayim misoavot. Since there was no bleeding, the meat is not hukshar lekabel tuma, and therefore you would be able to eat this even if your hands are unwashed. Normally you wash your hands before eating. You do? Maybe some people do. What are we talking about over here? This is a question, actually, we shouldn't discuss. I mean, I understand that Cholam B'Yadayim Misoavot revolves around the issue of whether you are going to be Matame the Chulin with your hands unwashed, without doing the Tilat Yadayim. And Mr. Rabbona made a Gezerah that Stam Yadayim, hands that haven't been washed after the last time they're Tahorot, are considered to be Tmeot, and they're a Sheni Lutuma. So now, this meat is not going to be affected by Yadayim Misoavot. The question of why one would want to eat even chulin, meat, because we know the takana that the Rabbanan made was only bread for chulin. And why one would want to eat chulin meat after Netilat Yadayim Dafka? One approach, the Rosh's approach, is that we're talking over here about someone who also engages in Achilas Truma. And we'll see that the eating of tamei meat makes you prohibited to eat truma. So maybe he would want to make sure that his meat is tar. Or maybe it's tar. He's marked it. And to eat his meat b'taira, we'll see later on in the sugya. That was a common practice. But in any event, here, just like vegetables are only tamei, only mekabel tuma after they touch a mashkin, one of those mashkim is blood, because this is al aretz tishpachenu kamayim. The Torah compares blood to water. Therefore, normally, if you shecht an animal, the animal is wet, because it's bled. But in this case, where it didn't bleed, the meat is not a problem. The fishalo hukshur b'dam, because they were never hukshur b'dam. By the way, the question is, how you could eat a b'yadayim misoavot if you didn't soak it in order to salt it? So, there's two possibilities. We may be talking about a tzli, in which case you don't have to salt it. Or, even if we're talking about salted meat, we could be referring to using apple juice for some type of meperes, which is also, the liquid that you need for hadacha of the meat before salting does not have to be water. So maybe it would be kosher here anyway. Of course, it could be talking about that you're eating it raw. I mean, once you're into this health thing, you know. Anyway, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, you do not need heksher on meat. Just remember that. There's no need for a heksher on meat. Why is that? Because the whole point of heksher, of mashkim, is to turn something which is previously a non-foodstuff into a foodstuff. So that's an act of preparation by which a human shows this is now ready for consumption. And only then it's a Mekabel Tuma. But the Shechita itself is the strongest indication that this is meant to be consumed, and therefore the Shechita makes it Mukshel Mekabel Tuma. Tain is Rabbi Shimon, Hukshuru B'Shechita. What do you need bleeding for? Says the Gemara, okay, note that the implications over here is that the only reason you're allowed to eat it with the Adayim is so avot is because it's not Mukshel Mekabel Tuma. Why? Tain it alo yotza me'andam, because there was no bleeding. Implication being, if there was any bleeding, then and then your normal Yadayim Misoavot, remember the normal Yadayim Misoavot is a Gezerim and a Rabbanon, that Stam Yadayim have a din as if they are a Sheni Latuma, even though such a thing is logically impossible, because an Adam cannot be a Sheni. An Adam is only Mekabel Tuma from a Rishon Latuma, so to talk about an Adam as a Sheni is nonsense. The Rabbanan, however, gave the chumra of Tuma, but what level Tuma, in terms of what it will be metame if it touches, that they gave it the level of a sheni. So it doesn't mean that anybody can truly be a sheni l'tuma. But the klal is that yadayim are shniot, bein sheniot, shlishi b'chulin. So who cares, even if they poured water all over this meat, you could touch it anyway, be yadayim esovot, because chulin is not mekabel Tuma from a sheni. But wait a second. How do you know we're talking about chulin over here? I mean, we said before, we talked about a mishnah, was talking about partially kutchim. I mean, how do we know we're not talking about kutchim? So am I the chulin askinan? Okay, listen, man, let's cut that, okay? First of all, it says a chaya in the mishnah. Did you ever hear a kutchim of a chaya? Okay, so forget that. Chaya b'kutchim, chaya b'kutchim, yika. Furthermore, what are you talking about kutchim? If it's kutchim, kilo yatsam yam dam kshera, what good would be an animal, a shita for kutchim, that didn't have any blood? Forget it. Furthermore, if it's talking about kachim, even if it would have been yatsmeim dam, it wouldn't have been mukshar kabel tuma mi machshir. The omer kibar rav omer biyochan minayin adam kachim sheino machshir. How do I know that dam kodesh is bechlal not machshir shenemar? Ala oret tishpachenu kambayim, which means that the only dam that is compared to water is blood that will be poured out on the ground like water. Now, is that what you do with dam of kachim? Or is dam of kachim collected in a cup to be put under the mizbeach? So only dam shenishpach kamayim makshir. Sheino nishpach kamayim ain't no makshir. So this blood of kodesh is by definition not makshir l'kabel tuma. Are you satisfied? Can't possibly be talking about kodesh. Every last word in the Mishnah doesn't work out if we're talking about kodesh, okay? Furthermore, if it's kachim, what are you talking about that it's not mokshel kabel tuma because lo yatsa me'am dam liskasher b'chibas hakedesh? Why would it not be kosher mokshel kabel tuma anyway? Because we know that even things that are normally not even viewed as foodstuffs, even wood, even levona is considered to be because of chibata kodesh, the chavivus and the uniqueness, preciousness of things that are kodesh, are considered to be so valuable and on such a high madrega that they're mokshel tuma even without the normal heksher. So, no matter how you look at the Mishnah, it's the complete inverse of what it would have said if it was talking about kutcher. It wouldn't have talked about chaya. It wouldn't have talked about the implication of dam being makshir. It wouldn't have spoken about without dam it's being kosher. It wouldn't have said that it's not mukshir l'kabel tuma without it. How does it go there? So let's get back to the question, okay? We're talking about, therefore, chulin. And now, we have a good question. Answer my question. How is it that yadayim shniot could possibly metame basar of chulin as if it matters to me whether it bled or not in terms of Kabbalah's tumah? Omrim nachun amar rabba baravua. It's not talking about old-fashioned chulin over here. It's talking about a piece of hamburger that was purchased with miser money. And if you use miser sheni money to purchase the meat, then that meat gets the same din as if it were maser. It has to be the whole thing. You have to eat Yerushalayim, so on and so forth. But it also gets the chumrah of Maaser to be Mekabel Tuma from a sheni, and it's better than plain old chulin. So, and of course that would be Shalok Rabbi Meir. It's not. Kol hata'un, biat mayim, it is very suffering. Anything which requires water being poured over it, only mid'rabbana. Now, we know there were 18 different gzeres. We have the Shmona Esrei Davar in Masechet Shabbat, where there were many different gzeros in which things require mid'rabbana tahira. One of them were yadai. Other things, you know, were things like touching a Sefer Torah and a lot of different issues for different reasons. And even taking a bath is a problem. You'd have to go to the mikveh. So in any event, over here, this is one of those things. And the klal is that it's metanias HaKodesh, it's pasos truma, and it's mutter and chulin and meiser, according to Rabbi Meir. In which case, according to Rabbi Meir, meiser and chulin are the same. So let's analyze the implications of that. Something is metame kodesh means the difference between tame and pasul is that if it's tame, it can be metame something else. If it's pasul, it itself is pasul, but it cannot be metame. I can't use the word tame on something that cannot be metame, because by definition, tuma means to exude something, not to be in a state. But I can use the case that the word pasul to indicate something that is itself no longer usable because it came in contact with Tumah, even if it itself can't go further with Tumah. So therefore, we say it's Koloton B.S. Miami Debray Sofer, and this boils down to saying it's a Sheni. Because what it does is it's Matame Kodesh, which means it makes the Kodesh a Shalishi in a way that the Kodesh can make a Revi, and that in fact is the Halach of Kodesh that it comes into contact with a Sheni. It passes Tumah, because Tumah can be Makabal Tumah from a sheni, but cannot give it off any further, and therefore it's pasul. So it pasuls tumah. And as far as chulin and meiser is concerned, it has no impact whatsoever, and it's mutter b'chulin u'b'maaser, divrei Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim osrim b'maaser. So assuming that the Mishnah is not going alibi to Rabbi Meir, it's going alibi to chachamim, who say that when it comes to maaser, indeed a sheni, because this was one of the things that is told biat mayim divrei sofrim, you need to wash your hands min rabbanan, they are a sheni, and according to the rabbanan, there are surim b'maaser, and therefore, if this meat had been purchased with maaser money, and it had been a normal shkita with a meat had bled, then ein hachinami, you would not have been allowed to eat it biyadayim misoavot. But since it didn't bleed, comes along the Mishnah to say it's nechal biyadayim misoavot. Matkifla, Reb Shimi Bar Ashi was very unhappy with that pshat. Because they said, look, you're making the assumption that the Chachomim are saying that you cannot touch the Meiser meat. And that if you touch the Meiser meat would become Tamei. Well, I got news for you. It doesn't talk here at all about a machlokus, about whether you're allowed to touch Meiser. It's only talking about whether you're allowed to eat Meiser. Note what it says. It says, Asurim. Mimai, dimat kan lo pligi rabbanon leit Rabbi Meir ala bachilat Meiser. The Chachomim say, and this we'll see later on, there is a concept called Rabbeisai. This is wonderfully exciting. And I just don't get that sense of electricity. Where is the current? Where is the magnetism? What's happening over here? Rabbi Yisai, there is a concept called Tumat Gviya. Tumat Gviya means the body is Tamei. How does a body become Tamei? It's only an idea of a Drabbanan that said that even without coming into contact with Tumat, that's going to affect your body. Eating something which is Tamei put your body in the state of that which you ate, or perhaps one step lower, we'll see it's a machlokas. In any event, the question, therefore, whether you're mutter or usher b'maiser has nothing to do with touching. It has to do with eating. So when it says over here, the chachomim are osrim, what were they referring to? Osrim b'nigiyah? There's no isser in touching something. Osrim would simply have meant that you're not allowed to eat it. Where did the Chachomim ever say anything about touching it? Where did they say that you can affect it by touching it? All they said is if you ate. So then there's a problem of eating Meiser in that state. That's all. So Dumat Kanlup the Grabarel, Le the Rebbe Meir Elabachi Lat Maser, all they talked about was eating Maser. And that's what they said. That somebody who has Yadayim B'Soavot, or any of the other issues, he went into a bathtub, he was B'Mayim, Rosh Avaruba, B'Mayim Shuvim, and so on and so forth. All those cases. So there he shouldn't eat Maser. And he is allowed to eat Chulin. Abu B'Negiya de Maser? When it comes to touching Maser, and of course even eating Chulin, they never said anything about there being a problem. And our Mishnah is not talking about eating. I'll prove that to you. Our Mishnah is saying ne'achalim, meaning even through touching, and I'll show you in a moment, in which case the implication is that if it had bled, that you wouldn't be touching it. And I still want to know, why wouldn't you be touching it? Since even if it's Maser, it wouldn't make any difference if you touch it or not, because it's only a question of you eat. So there's no mandioma who would support a statement in the Mishnah of implying that actually there would be an Isser involved when touching and touching meat that had Kedusha's Maser on it. Just in case you think that Richie got up in order to stay up. He actually got up to fall asleep standing up, but to be far enough away that he can't be attacked. Now, I'll prove to you that here we're talking about our Mishnah is referring to Negia, Va'anegiahi. Why? Miriktoni ne'echalin biyadayim esoavot. It doesn't say, ochlim biyadayim esoavot. Somebody can eat it whose hands are requiring itilat yadayim. And then Enochinami, then I would say, oh, the implications are that if it did bleed, then you're not allowed to eat it if you have Yadayim Tameos. No, it doesn't say that. It says Ne'achalim. Ne'achalim means that someone whose Yadayim or Misoavot can be used as a vehicle for feeding it to somebody. In other words, Ne'achalim Yadayim Misoavot, you would be allowed to eat it if I feed you, despite the fact that my Yadayim are Misoavot. So what would be the problem over there? Nigia, not achila. I'm not doing the eating. I'm doing the feeding. Mashma, that if it had bled, that I cannot feed you this meat if it's meat that has Kedushas Maaser. Why? Who is the shita that holds such a thing? Certainly not Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir holds you're even allowed to eat it. The Rabbanan, the most they said is you're not allowed to eat it. They never said you're not allowed to touch it and that you would impact it if your hands are shiny, that you could turn Maaser into a shlishi. Nobody said such a thing. So you still haven't helped me in this Mishnah. Miriktoni ne'achalim be'adayim esoavot milo askinim dekasafi lechavre. Are we not discussing even a case where his friend fed him that meat? So forget it. Okay. Obviously, we're talking about a different case. The case that we'd have to be referring to in the Mishnah is not typical yadayim, which is a gezeira of yadayim shniot. We're referring to a very special case of yadayim techilot. We'll discuss in a moment what the case is. And it's going according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, the Tanya, Ein Yadayim Techilot L'Chulin, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Amar Mishum Rabbi Meir, there is such a thing as Yadayim that are Techilot L'Chulin, and they would then affect Chulin. And there are Yadayim that are Shniot, even L'Truma. What are you talking about? It sounds like you're saying there's Yadayim Techilot only for Chulin and not for Truma. No, I'm saying Tchilot would apply even to Chulin. Tchilot af Chulin is the meaning. Shniot have no impact on Chulin, but they would be Shniot to Truma, but L'Chulin lo. So our mission when it says Ne'achalim B'Yadayim Misoavot is not talking about Stam Yadayim. It's talking about a guy who did Netilat Yadayim. There's no Stam Yadayim. And then he became Tamei Tefillah. How does that happen? Umi ika yadayim tefillot? Who ever heard of such a thing? It's certainly not one of the Yudchet Dvarim. We don't find any takona that yadayim should be stam tefillot. But there is such a case, as the Gemara indeed. Titania, as the Brisa points out, if somebody, you know, if somebody walks into the house in which there's a nega, he becomes tame, stays there. And because of that, since there is a similar halacha, I would say it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, or some hold that there's an Isser of Bia B'mitzas and so on. I mean, there's a... okay, here there's no such thing. However, there is a gezeira that ha'ichnis yadav l'bayat ha'menuga yadav techilot divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that since if you had entered entirely into a bayat menuga, you would have been tamei. So therefore, we made a gezeira that if you stuck your hands into a bayat menuga, you also become tamei. And that, only your hands. And that is a din of too much yadayim, but it's unique in that it even makes the yadayim techilot, not only shniot. Whereas the Chachamim say, you're right, that the Yadayim are Tmeyot, but they're only Shniot, meaning that even if you had just finished the Tilat Yadayim, and now you stick your hands into a Bayat HaMenugah, you need the Tilat Yadayim again. But it's no different than other Yadayim. It's not a new din of Tumas Yadayim. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, it's a new Chumrah in that it would even affect Chulin. And therefore, our Mishnah, which says, or at least implies, that if the animal had bled, you wouldn't eat the chulin b'yadayim, doesn't mean regular yadayim. It means yadayim, in a case we was makhlis yad of l'bayit ha-menugah. By the way, the meaning over here is the kuli yama b'yad b'mitzat lo shema b'yad. Nobody is suggesting that there's an idea of partial entry into a bayit ha-menugah. Even if you hold that b'yad b'mitzat is considered to be bia when it comes to the Beit HaMikdash, which is Reish Lakish Shita, that's Dafka in the Beit HaMikdash, as Tosis points out, because we have a drosha that compares Negia to bia, because it says over there, Bechol Kodesh Lo Tiga, Ve'el HaMikdash Lo Tavo. So since Negia is even partial, so too is bia partial. What would that have to do with Bayat HaMenugah? So everybody has agreed that this issue has nothing to do with bia b'mitzas. It's simply a gezerah of, we're afraid, gezerah yadav atu gufa kamiflage. And the question is, what is the status that we put on the yadayim because of this gezerah? Mar savar yadav ke gufo shavina rabbana. Rabbi Akiva says the gezerah is to treat the yadayim as if his entire body had gone into, so vis-a-vis the yadayim, it's as if he was in it. What would have happened if a guy would have gone into a bayit ha-menugah? He would have been a rishon latuma. He would have come in contact with sarat, which is an avatuma. So now, too, his yadayim are the same, and they're a rishon latuma, whereas only the yadayim, yeah, and mar sama, whereas the chachamim hold yadayim ki yadayim the alma shavin and the rabbanan did say that yadayim are tumeyot, but they didn't create a new level of tumas yadayim. They said abayis amanukas matami yadayim. So even though you had finished being matir your yadayim, you're coming straight from the tilat yadayim or tilat yadayim. And now on the way into the Suda, you stick your hands in the Bayit HaMenugah, you got to turn back around and wash your hands again. That's all they said. No. The look of Rabbi Akiva. So wait, so now, what are we saying over here? Why can't we simply say that we should go according to Rabbi Akiva holds Yadav Tchilot Havya, that your Yadayim are trilot, and fine. That's the explanation of the Mishnah, and everything now works out, right? But Dilma Kikama Rabbi Akiva Anim Yilagutruma Vakachim Dechamire. Where do we see that Rabbi Akiva said even Chulin? Maybe Rabbi Akiva himself was only talking about Truma Vakachim. Avalu Chulin Shnias Havim. But maybe for Chulin indeed there's Shnias. I mean, our Mishnah is talking about Chulin, as we proved. So I don't get where, how you've solved the issue. You haven't shown me that there's a concept of Yadayim Tchilas V'chulin. She says, well, the truth is, if you're willing to say it's going to Rabbi Akiva, let it be even Shniyais. Hashemina Rabbi Akiva, Dabar Shniyais Shlishi V'chulin. Rabbi Akiva indeed holds the unusual Shita that a Sheni does affect Chulin and makes it a Shlishi. And he darshens it from the Pasuk. It's not. Bobayom, on that very day, the very day when? Which very day? Not that day. No, the Bobayom, wherever it says Bobayom, it's referring to that horrible day in which they threw out Rabbi Gamliel, stuck in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and that day. So on that day, with all kinds of new exciting things happening on that day.
Where?
Oh, you're back to the Avenue again.
There we go. Now we're talking.
So on that very day, notice it never said at that special place. It only says on that day. So Dorash Rabbi Akiva said, look, it says about a tanur, about the tuma and tanur, it says, v'kol kli cheres, not the whole thing, actually, yipol mi v'tom v'tochol, yitma. So now what's the case over here? Yitma means that other things that are inside, let's say there are kikarot in that tanur, they will become tomei. And we proved, if you recall from Toho, we proved that the tanur itself has to first be makabel tuma from the sheretz that's inside of it, then it transfers tuma to the kikarot inside of it. So now we're talking about kikarot that are sheni, because the tanur was a rishon, the kikarot are a sheni. But as Rabbi Akiva points out, the word yitma can be read yitame, in which case the things that became tame can be metame other things, which proves that the kikarot, which are sheni, can be metame shlishi. Therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, you'll notice it doesn't say tame, it says yitame, the tame acherim. Limeid al kika sheni shorosa shlishi b'chulin. You see, that proves that a kikar sheni can create Kishlushi. And now, getting back to the case in our Mishnah, even if you want to go so far as to say there's no such thing as Yadayim Tchilas by Chulin, and you're ready to say the Mishnah as a reflection of Rabbi Akiva Shita, then everything still works out just fine, because it's going to be Makabal Tuma, the Rabbi Akiva for Basheni. So if the animal bled, your Yadayim are Stam Yadayim, the Shniyais, they make Kishlushi. Says the Gemara, but wait a minute, it still doesn't make sense, because Rabbi Akiva here was referring to the case of a tanur. The case of the tanur was where a sheretz fell into a tanur. That's a tumah d'oraisa. Dilma hani mili b'tumah d'oraisa, v'b'rabbanan lo. How do you know that there would be such a thing? Where do we see that he made a takonah d'rabbanan, that a sheni on yadayim, a very far-fetched tumah anyway, it's a created idea. Where do you see that he would have held that would make a shlishi, that the Mishnah should leave us with the implication that you can touch a shlishi, something that would become a shlishi if it's chulin, only if it didn't bleed, because then it's amur shel kabel tuma. I don't see any clear indication anywhere of which man d'yomar would have said such a thing. Omar, Rabbi Elazar, Omar, Rabbi Oshia, you know what? We're making a terrible mistake over here. You're right, we're not talking about Kodesh. That's obvious. We proved that. But we might be talking about Chulin Shanasu al Tyrus HaKodesh HaSkina. It is possible for a person to accept upon himself that everything that he eats, even if it's Chulin, shall be treated with the same Chumrah as if it were Kodesh. And then, as we'll see, there's a Mandiyamar who holds that such an acceptance creates differences la halacha, and will give it the same din as if it's Kodesh. Or as if it's Truma. But it will give it Chumras, so that even though it's simply Chulin, it now is Makabal Tuma from a Sheni and becomes a Shlishi. And that's what our Mishnah is referring to, which actually makes a great deal of sense, because clearly the Mishnah is talking about somebody who is concerned about his Chulin, and it deals with the question of whether he's allowed to eat it, b'yadayim misoavot. What type of person is concerned for such a thing? Why is there a problem, as we pointed out earlier, of eating chulin b'yadayim misoavot? So clearly there's something going on over here. So what must have been is that this is an individual who wants to eat chulin al tayras hakedesh. So am rabbi sha'acha b'chulin shenasu al tayras hakedesh askinan v'delo k'rabi Yoshua. But not following Rabbi Yoshua's pshat, as we'll see in a moment, there are two ways of understanding the level of chumrah that comes from tumat haguf, when it's nogea, the achila of a davar tamei. D'tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, ha'ochel, ochel rishon. Someone who eats something which is tamei as a rishon, he himself becomes a rishon with all that implies, and he has to act with his, this is called Tumas Gviya, it's a Tumas Haguf, and he has to act as if he is in fact Tamei even for things that are sensitive only to the tumah of a Rishon. Now, I must point out, when it says eat, it doesn't mean to eat a kezias. There's no din of tumas gvia on a kezias. You're only considered to be matame gvia if you eat a chatzi pras, which is a good deal more. It's two beitim, according to Rashi. And, okay, so it's not stam achila. It's not what we were referring to earlier about achilas mais or achilas truma. You were talking about the level of the achila that would make you tame. So if he eats a rishon, he's a rishon. If he eats a sheni, he's a sheni. If he eats a shlishi, he's a shlishi. Well, we'll see later on what the logic is for this. But the truth is, it's interesting that you can conceive of a case in which we would be concerned for such matters. Because, for instance, suppose somebody is eating, he's a kohen, he's eating the chulin, and the chulin is tameh, and he's chewing it. And he now takes a drink of truma beer. As soon as he puts that drink into his mouth, he's metameh the truma, which is an issur d'oraisa. So for us to be gozer on him that he is the equivalent of what he's eating is not so far-fetched, because we can easily come to Isurim if he's not sensitive to that. So he's got to know, if he wants to eat things that are tameh, he's going to have to go to the mikveh before eating truma, and therefore he's not going to come to a situation which he will drink his beer while he's still chewing on the tameh peanuts or whatever they are, right? Or it's pretzels, usually, I think, right? Pretzels, yeah. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, ha'ochel ochel rishon v'sheni, it's a sheni. If you eat a rishon or you eat a sheni, you only become a sheni. The Gemara later is going to discuss the logic in these positions. If you eat a shlishi, you're a sheni l'kodesh, but you're not a sheni for truma. And the chulin shenazru out there is truma. And when I talk about this entire issue about the effect of whether you're what it is that you are, it's only binogea chulin shenazru al tairas truma. Notice that he only talks about chulin shenazru al tairas truma. It doesn't say a word about tairas hakodesh. So it's al tairas truma in al tairas hakodesh lo. Obviously, Rabbi Yeshua himself holds kosova chulin shenazru al tairas hakodesh let behu shlishi. There is no such thing as such a shlishi on chulin shenazru al tairas hakodesh. In other words, there's a limit to how much fantasy is allowed in chumras. You want to be machmir, you could be machmir to call your chulin truma. You can't be machmir to call your chulin kodesh. Since the answer that we're giving to our Mishnah is that our Mishnah is talking about chulin shenazru al tairas hakodesh, so then it would have to be going dafka liba de Rabbi Eliezer. Since he gives chulin shenazru al tairas hakodesh a din of kodesh, we now have a problem of whether if the animal bleeds, somebody whose hands are tameos would be allowed to feed it to somebody else. Because it would be makabel tum, even from a sheni. Asks the Gemara, but I don't understand. You know, this is really strange. First, you make up your mind it's talking about chulin shenazru al tairas hakodesh, and therefore it's not going like Rabbi Yoshua. The Mishnah didn't say what it's talking about. You might as well have said, it's talking about chulin shenazru al tairas truma, and it is going like Rabbi Yoshua. But what forces you to say that it was dafka chulin shenazru al tairas hakodesh? That's a given. Nothing's a given. So v'lukma, why not just say that the Mishnah was referring to chulin shenazru al tairas truma, and makes perfectly good sense, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yoshua, because certainly, if chulin shenazru al tairas truma is ketruma, then the Mishnah would be referring to a very surprising case in which the meat was truma. In other words, we've already seen a case in which a meat could be meiser. Even how is there such a thing as a meat which is meiser? You bought it with kesem meiser. And because of accepting on yourself the chumrah of kedushas truma on your meat, you would now be eating meat which is truma, and therefore the mitzvah that says that it would be makabel tuma from someone whose yadayim or shniyos would be perfectly understandable because it's truma. What do you have to make it kodesh for? Not like Rabbi Yoshua. And says the Gemara, what are you talking about? How could there be such a thing as meat, which is truma? I mean, some of you are telling me the problem over here is fantasy. I mean, so a guy who fantasizes his meat as being truma has got serious problems. Whoever saw meat growing from the ground, then it should be chayav and truma. So that for sure there's no such thing. If the Mishnah is talking about meat, it's got to be talking about chol shana so al tayr sakedesh. Oh yeah, and if he's talking about giraffe meat, that's also not fantasy. In chol shana so al tayr sakedesh, he's saying we'll pretend that this giraffe was being brought on the mizbeach. Whoever heard of a giraffe being brought on the mizbeach? Why isn't that just as fantasy? And the Mishnah says chayav. How could there be a chaya which is true, which is chayav sakedesh? Let's see that inside. Lo sakadaydach. Look, it can't be the case of truma. Diktani baser. It talks about meat over here. Diba truma baser meika. There's no such thing as meat which could be truma. So elamai bekachim. Chaya bekachim meika. Where do you get a giraffe that's inside the base of Mikdash? You're going to pretend that this giraffe meat is now considered to be kodesh? No. Baser a baser michlef. I mean, it's easy to get confused between one piece of meat and another. So, okay, the guy says, look, all the meat in the freezer, even if it's giraffe meat, I'm going to eat as if it's Kedushas Kodesh, right? But baser b'teri lo michlef. There's nobody who's going to mistake a piece of meat for an orange, and therefore, it can't be b'teris truma. A lot of fascinating new worlds have opened up today to those who have paid any attention. Tichilot. First. Rishon. Tichilot is the first in the stage.